God, and it's based upon the theme of the National Youth Gathering that our youth went to. And I just wanted to give you, through this series, a sense of what goes on in the gathering. Chloe talked about it a little bit. Every evening, all these thousands of kids gather at the U.S. Bank Center, and they have this event. They call it a mass event. And in this mass event, it is one of the most well-produced things I've ever seen in my life. They have skits, they have dramas, they have readings, they have personal testimonies. It's really, really amazing for these children to hear, for these youth to hear. But a powerful drama occurred on the second evening. The youth watched as a girl dressed in white came out onto the stage. And as she came out onto the stage, she started to relive her day. And as she relived her day as a typical high school student at her high school, people came up to her and started calling her names. They called her idiot. And then they picked up paint and they took a paintbrush and they threw the paint at her. And then they called her a failure, and somebody else came and picked up a paintbrush and threw paint at her. Someone called her dirty. Someone called her terrible friend. And this kept going on and on until finally, by the end of this, her clothes were drenched and stained with paint. And in the end, she felt helpless and she felt burdened with the weight of these labels and these stains. And then Jesus showed up. And the kids started screaming and laughing and shouting because he walked out and he took her and he wrapped her in a white sheet and he held her close and he gave her hope and love. And the point was clear. No matter what labels or stains you have in your life, Jesus is always there to love you and to welcome you and to offer hope and forgiveness. It was such a powerful presentation because many of our kids today experience this kind of thing when they go into high school. I'm sure some of you know some high school students that struggle because when they get to high school, somebody labels them with something that maybe isn't fair, and they're being bullied. Or even perhaps some of our high school students go to church or go to school and they bully someone else and label somebody else with something that's horrible. And when it's awesome to see that Jesus is our real present God, even when we don't live up into the world, even when we don't live to his standards, he still loves us and he cares about us no matter which labels we have. You know, high school is such a vulnerable time for our youth. And for them to see that we have a real present God is pretty amazing. Now, the worship service, the gathering ends with the worship service on Monday morning, believe it or not. And at that worship service, they had four readings. And this event from this reading from Genesis 28 was actually the second reading of that day. We closed with the worship service and we saw this video about Jacob. And as I was sitting here watching the video, I was thinking, you know, that really truly does speak to our high school youth today in their world. Because the encounter that Jacob had with God is an encounter that we all have. But before we get into this, we need a little bit of a background. So Jacob, his grandfather is Abraham. And God came to Abraham and promised him that he would be the father of many nations. As a matter of fact, he looked up into the sky and saw the stars. And God said, you will have more descendants than the stars in the sky. And that was a promise from God. But Abraham had a problem. And many of you know what the problem was. His wife was beyond childbearing age. How was he possibly going to have a child? And how was he going to be a father of these many nations? But God was faithful and came through. And his wife, Sarah, did have a child. And they named the child Isaac. And Isaac was this beautiful, bouncy, baby, wonderful boy. And Abraham was able to have children through Isaac. It was really quite wonderful. Now, God came to Abraham and he said to him, I need you to sacrifice your son, Isaac. And Abraham was faithful. And he took Isaac up to this mountain called Mount Moriah. And he was ready to sacrifice Isaac. But God came through and he provided a lamb. And so the progeny still continued on. Isaac had two sons, and their names were Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the elder son, and Esau was the younger son. Now, what was interesting is that God had promised Isaac that the younger son would become the father of Israel, and the older son would serve the younger son. And so that was a promise from God. And so Jacob grew up knowing that he was the one that God had promised would be the one that this wonderful blessing would come through. But his older brother, Esau, was totally different. They're identical. They're not identical twins. They're fraternal twins. And as fraternal twins, Jacob was the smart, brainiac, always thinks everything through type of twin. Esau was like the twin who always does everything with his body. He's very physical. He likes to go out hunting. He likes shooting his meat and then bringing it home and cooking it for his father. And because of that, his father actually loved Esau better than Jacob. But the promise had gone to Jacob, not to Esau. Reminds me, believe it or not, of my own family, because I have an older brother who's just like Esau. His name is Mike. He's the firstborn. He's 4 years older than me, and he is the one that likes to go out and hunt and fish and be a manly man. He was in every sport known to man. He was just very athletic. He wasn't hairy, but he was that type of person. He kind of, if you know what that means. There are three types of people typically in our world. We have people that lead with their body, we have people that lead with their mind, and we have people that lead with their emotions. Well, my brother is one that led with his body. Now, I, on the other hand, am the one that leads with my mind. I'm always kind of looking, investigating, trying to figure out what the best path forward. Now, I know what you're thinking. My older brother, he's bigger, he's stronger, he was the one that always won, right? In any situation, but don't be fooled. Because just because he was older and stronger did not mean he always got better of me, because he used his body and I used my mind. So you might think that Jacob is the weaker of the two. But he knows that he cannot win the fight with Esau, and so he leaves town. Now, we have to talk about this. So what happens is Jacob had been promised by God that he would be the one that God would have this promise through. And so Jacob, one day, asks his father if he could have the birthright blessing. What happened is that Jacob was out in the field, saw his brother. Esau came in, he says, "I'm hungry, I need something to eat." And Jacob says, "Well, I will feed you if you give me your birthright blessing." And Jacob asked him about this. And Esau said, "Well, fine, I don't need that birthright blessing." And so he did. He traded away the food for the birthright blessing. It was a very dumb thing to do. And then Jacob wanted also the blessing from his father. He knew that he was the one promised by God to carry forward this promise, but he knew he needed to have his father's blessing. And so one day while Esau is out, he dresses up and he feeds his father food just like Esau would feed his father. And he asked his father for the birthright blessing. And so his father puts his hands on him and gives him the blessing. Well, Esau finds out about this, and as you can imagine, he is extremely irritated and angry. And so he says he's going to kill his brother Jacob. And Jacob says, "I'm not going to be able to get in to win a fight with my brother." And so he leaves and he goes to a foreign place. And that's kind of where we get to this morning when he has this dream. Because he goes to this foreign place, Jacob does, running away from his brother who wants to kill him. He's supposed to be the one that's going to have this blessing. And all of a sudden he finds himself in this place, desolate, alone. Everybody's after him. Everybody wants to kill him. And so he goes to sleep in this place. It was pretty desolate. Have you ever been in a desolate place in your life? Have you ever been in a time when God, it feels like God has kind of abandoned you in your life? Well, while Jacob is sleeping, he has this dream, the one we saw on the screen. He's sleeping on this rock, and all of a sudden, God prepares this dream. And what was the dream that God prepares? Is that God is truly a real present God. Even though Jacob thinks that he's all alone and that God is far off, God is right there with him through the whole time. God is a real present God. And as a matter of fact, he unfolds Jacob's eyes and he shows them that the angels of God are ascending and descending from heaven. Last week, we talked about kind of this new religion that's popping up called moral deism, basically. Moralistic therapeutic deism. And it's basically this idea that God set the earth in motion and then he left. But what God shows Jacob is that he didn't leave. As a matter of fact, God is presently active at work in the world today, as shown by the angels that are ascending and descending into heaven. And God is standing over Jacob. And he says, I made you a promise, and that promise is not going to go away. That promise is that someday you will have as many children as there are dust on the ground, and that promise will come true. And Jacob looked at the wonder of that, and he said, my goodness, God is still here. God is still a real, present God. See, that's the lesson. That's the lesson from this, is that we are not alone in this world. Even though when it seems like God is far off and distant, that he's not active in this world, he truly is present. He is a real present God, and no power on earth can separate us from his love. Many of you know that I'm on a board. It's called Shepherd's Canyon Retreat, and it's for church workers who have just come to the end of their rope, and they don't know where to turn. Maybe the things in the family aren't going well. Maybe things in the church aren't going well. The world around us is changing dramatically, and they can't deal with all the change. And for some reason, they feel as if they're abandoned by God. And so they come to this week-long retreat. And while they're at this retreat, there's therapists, and there's a chaplain, there's people that love them. And the whole purpose of the retreat is basically this, to show them that God is still present, that he's still real, he still loves them. He's a real present God in their life. And many of them go back into ministry renewed and refreshed, seeing the amazing power of God in his life. And you and I, when we're in our darkest times, we need to know that God is real and present in our life. He loves us and he cares for us and he will never abandon us. And even though we can't see what's going on, he removes the veil and shows us that he's still real and present in our life. You know, this actually happened one time in the Old Testament. It's a story about Elijah, where he's fighting with the king of Aram, and he runs away to a different place with his servant. And the king of Aram is following Elisha, and Elisha camps out for the night. And the servant looks out, and he says, there's all these armies coming after me. What am I going to do? And Elisha says, don't worry about it. God's got our back. And so he prayed, God, show this servant that you are truly present. And so God opens up the servant's eyes, and he can see that the whole entire army and the host and the chariots of God, they're there. And so could the enemy, and so they ran away. There are times when God shows his presence, when he shows that he's a real present God. How do we know that he's a real present God for us? How can we be sure of the confidence that in the darkest times of our life, God is real with us? Well, we know because Jesus came and showed us that he is the real present God. It's interesting, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is calling all of his disciples, he comes to Philip and Nathanael. Philip sees Jesus, and then he runs to get Nathanael, and he says to Nathanael, hey, I found the Messiah, I found the one, the promised one. And so Nathanael comes to Jesus, and this is John chapter 1, verses 47, 48. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite to whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael asked Jesus, well, how do you know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. And then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And listen to what Jesus said. He said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, but you will see greater things than that. And then he added, very truly I tell you, you will see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You see, the very presence of God that Jacob saw came to fruition in Jesus. He was that link and that ladder between God and man. And because he has called you, because you are his precious child, through your baptism, you are loved by Jesus. No power can take that away from you. And you know that even in the darkest times of your life, God is present in your life. Jesus is the ladder to heaven. He is the one that's watching over us. He has the power of angels ministering on this earth. And even when we don't see him at work, he is at work. Because God loves, struggles exist. So the only conclusion to know is that Jesus loves us and he cares for us in every struggle of our life. He sees the angels and the angels ascending and descending. He sees the big picture. When things are dark in your life, when you can't see the hand of God, when you're not sure what's going on, know that he's a very present God. There have been many times in my life when I've said, God, I just don't see you. I'm just not sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm just not sure you're present. But time after time after time again, he shows me that he is a present God, that he loves me and he cares for me. And he loves and he cares for you too. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, you are a great and mighty God. When times get difficult and when things seem hopeless, help us to remember that you have all the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven at your fingertips. You never leave or forsake us, not because of anything that we have done, but because of your love for us. Be with us this week and all our struggles. In your name we pray. Amen. Please rise. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.